Question 1A is in the back in the plexiglass at the top. We'll be going through questions 7 and 8. And then question 1B will be after we get through with the rest of lesson 1 concerning some questions on it. We've been looking at the renewing of the mind, and that's what we're going to be looking at this quarter. We looked at some passages last week concerning this renewing of the mind. And question number 7, has God prepared works in which we should walk? Has He prepared works in which we should walk? Okay, He does. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 10 that we had looked at, that we had read, that there was works that He had there. For we are His workmanship, His creation, created in Christ Jesus unto or for good works, which God hath before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them. Since He has prepared works for us in which we should walk, where are those works found at? Ephesians 2:10. Where are those works found at that God has prepared for us to walk in?
They're found in His commands in Scripture. In the works of God, He's told us what they are as far as the things that we're supposed to do. And so if we have opportunity to do them, those are the works that He's talking about.
Okay. Would it be limited to the commands of God? In other words, I guess what I'm trying to explore a little bit is He commands it, so therefore by rote or habit, I follow the command and I do it. Or is it that there are works along with attributes that I need to take on myself rather than just doing it out of the necessity of, well, it's a command, so therefore I do it?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess the hope is that your nature's changed. And we talk about this renewing of the mind, so that we don't do it because we have to do it because we want to do it to serve God and glorify God.
Okay. One of the fallacies, you know, people get into, you see oftentimes in the Christian life is, well, these are the commands of God, so therefore I will do these, and once I have done them, then I fulfilled what I need to do. And so therefore I don't need to do anything else. If I follow this and check it off, and I've done that, then I'm fine. But that really, you could go through that and not have renewed your mind, I guess is what I'm trying to bring out. You can go through a list of commands and still not have renewed your mind. You're just following the commands.
Well, I mean, isn't that what the Pharisees and those guys, that was part of the problem that they had, is that we tied this, and that we've done this and this, and I've never killed anybody, and I've not done this, so I'm right with God.
Right. And that was one of the fallacies. Are these works that God has prepared that we should walk in them, are they mandatory? Are the works mandatory?
Well,
yes.
Yes.
Okay, they are mandatory. By who?
By Christ for us to do. Christians.
Oh, okay. Just Christians, or should those works be... Are those works, have they been prepared that all should walk in them?
Not all of them.
I mean, as far as should all mankind walk in them?
Prepared for an opportunity for all mankind to take that.
Okay.
They can if they are, you know.
Right, if they can. But God, in His creation and creating things and making all things good, He has wanted mankind, period, to walk in those good works. Correct? Even if they choose not to, He still, God's design and purpose was that man should walk in those good works. Okay? Because God is against wickedness, He's against evil, and He doesn't want man to do that, and these good works are opposite of that. Correct? How do we acquire knowledge of these works? Okay. To study concerning... Okay. Study, you have to study God's Word. So it's going to be quite an in-depth that we have to do as far as studying God's Word. We have to acquire that knowledge. And after we acquire that knowledge, then we have to put that knowledge into practice. have to start somewhere, and God's Word is the place that we have to go to find these works, to find these attributes of God. That's where it's all contained in. You can't get it anywhere else. Okay? You can't get that from anything else. It's got to be contained within God's Word. What affects this transformation process from old to new? Question number 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it talks about that transformation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What affects this transformation process? What brings about that process? Okay. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So this process is affected from old to new if you are in Christ. Now, if that process hasn't taken place, then what is the logical conclusion? Right. I'm still the old man. I'm not in Christ, but yet I may say that I am in Christ. So can you be a Christian in name and not be in this transformation process?
Yes.
Okay, you can still have the old self and claim to be or say that you're a Christian, still have this old self. So if any man be in Christ, if you're going to be in Christ, then you have to be a what? A new what? Okay, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not he will be or he shall be. He is a new creature. And what makes him new is old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay? So that transformation process has to take place. And that's the renewing of the mind. If it doesn't take place, then it's pointless. Okay? We're just, as a lot of times you heard say, we're just going through the motions, and that's it. Okay? We'd left off last week when we were saying that we must look and recognize what the old man was in the presence of God and what are the old things which must pass away. In order to have a renewing of the mind, you have to know what you were before and what needs changed and the new state that we talked about so that you can be a new man, a new person. Therefore, we must see the condition or state of our mind before God prior to the renewing of our mind. We must come to that realization. We must see what we were, what we are at that point in time. In the beginning, our condition before God as a non-believer is one of following our own counsel. Would you agree with that? Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So, our condition before God as an unbeliever, one, is we must recognize that we are following our own counsel. That's how we're directing our lives. That's how we're doing things, is we're following our own counsel. And that's how we live day in and day out. If I think I need to do this by my wisdom, I do it. If I think another person needs to do that, then that's the advice I will give them. And I will follow human wisdom. Okay? And that's my condition before God. Following my own counsel. Our heart's counsel, we must realize then, is driven by serving our lust and our desires. That's what drives our heart. That's what drives our counsel. In our condition before God, before as a non-believer, we are driven by our own counsel, and that is driven by serving our lust and desires. Psalm chapter 81. 81st chapter of Psalms. Psalms 81, verses 11 and 12. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, their own desires, and they walked in their own counsels. when you look back at Jeremiah, the 16th chapter. Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, in verse 12. "And ye have done worse than your fathers," Jeremiah said, "for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." The imagination of their heart, they seek their own desire, they seek their own pleasure, and that's the counsel is of our heart is being driven by that. When I want to serve my lust, when I want to serve my desire, no matter what it is, that's going to be my counsel to me. That's what I'm going to do. And that's, if you look at it, that was each and every one of us before we became believers. We did what we wanted. We followed our own desires. We followed our own lusts. That's what we did. And that was our counsel. The reason we do that is we look upon ourselves as our own source of authority and deny God. The example you have in that is in Exodus, the 5th chapter, of Pharaoh. When he made the statement, "Who is God that I should obey him? I know not God." That's what Pharaoh said. "Who's God that I should obey him? I don't want to. I don't have to." And so he denied the existence of God. He denied that he was his a source of authority. And Pharaoh did what he wanted to do. And that was our position before becoming believers. And sometimes that's the position of believers after they become believers, is that they still want to follow their own desires, their own source of authority. Yes, I understand what God's Word says, but I haven't renewed my mind, and I'm not going to follow that. Okay? Job, the 21st chapter. And the reason that I'm doing this, and you have to bear with me, is that we've got to know where we come from and what we are doing so that we know what we need to change, to what needs to be renewed, what needs to be made new, what needs to be changed. Job, the 21st chapter, verses 14 and 15. "Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit shall we have if we pray unto him?" That was their thought. They want to be their own source. We don't have no desire for the knowledge of your ways, God, and we don't want to know. We've got our own things that our own wisdom that we want to choose and do. So, since each one is his own source of authority, then one's actions are right in his own eyes. And it's hard to convince one otherwise. If you're your own source of authority, then your actions are going to be right, according to you. Proverbs, the 26th chapter. Proverbs, the 26th chapter, verse 2. Proverbs 26:2. "As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." Proverbs 16:2. Proverbs 16:2. "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits." And Proverbs 30:12. Proverbs 30, verse 12. "There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." So we see how we stand before God when we get into this, in this situation where we're our own source of authority. When I said Proverbs 26:2, that should be Psalms 26:2. "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." To examine, asking the Lord, check me out. See that these aren't holding on to my own ways and my own source. The 31st chapter of Psalms. 31st chapter of Psalms, verses 1 and 2. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. I'm not hanging on to my own authority, but I'm looking for God as my authority. In Isaiah, the 5th chapter. Isaiah, the 5th chapter and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We see a lot of this today. That's how man views things today when he's his own source of authority. What we consider according to God's word is wrong, they see nothing bad about it. They think it's totally right. And they'll hold to that. And in their eyes, they are right. Okay. So, yes. No. God's axioms that are there are truths that they cannot be disputed. I mean, he knows the human nature, and he knows and wants you. I mean, it's the same throughout all time, throughout all generations. So, in Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 14 and 15, one of the problems we have along with that is we justify ourselves before men and not before God. And I think this is Luke's rendering of it, chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." And that's Luke's to your Matthew account there that I had here next. So, we justify ourselves before men and not before God. And we get in a habit of doing that. We haven't renewed our mind. We choose not to renew our mind because we say, well, with what I do, it's not all that bad. I justify myself in my own sight. It's not all that bad. It's not as bad as what's taking place out there or what other people are doing, this and that. And that's how we justify ourselves. But that's not acceptable. In this state of pleasing self, we must realize we then become guilty of committing the works of the flesh. Yeah, Mike.
Just going back from where you got these questions here, you covered all the questions and you gave scripture to everyone except for number 7.
Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 10.
Can I add another scripture to that?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46.
25:31-46?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Where it talks about he shall send his angels.
This is talking about judgment.
Right.
And he divides the goats from the sheep from the goats. And he tells the difference between what we're talking about, like the Pharisees were doing, and what they should have been doing.
Right.
I see the same comparison that the Pharisees does in the church. It's always weighed on my mind that Jesus made a comment to the Pharisees one time. The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The same could be said for the first day of the week. We're not only to keep ourselves pure, but we're supposed to be doing certain things to the world to show them the type of people we are. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do these things as stated in Matthew, then Jesus tells us where we're going to be.
Right.
I would like to add that on the number 7.
Right, because that has to be the renewal of mind.
That has to be action.
Those are the good works that we're to be doing.
But we have to be seeking to do it. Mm-hmm. Not to be sitting for it to fall in our lap.
Right. Right, and that requires that we have to dive into his word and define the things that he wants us to do.
That means we need to dive into the world.
Well,
we have to seek into the world. The Great Commission is not something that's done and then are quit. It's continuing on by us.
Right, right. But we have to, in the renewing of our minds, we have to, and when we're starting out as non-believers, we have to learn and find that knowledge of God and the works that we're supposed to be doing, and then we have to change our mind and renew that and do those works, or otherwise, as you illustrated in Matthew, we're going to be on the left side that because we haven't done those works in the judgment.
But a lot of times the renewing of the mind is done by doing the second command.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing the second command, people of the world judge us by the Good Samaritan.
Right.
It's amazing the people of the world, they all seem to know the Good Samaritan, a good neighbor. And we could be like the priest and Pharisee. We could know every scripture backwards and forwards. But if we're not doing the second command, there's not a word we can say to get these people to come and sit in this building.
Right. Knowledge is not everything, because we can have the knowledge and our outer man still be directing and controlling our life. The works of the flesh can still be directing and controlling our life, and not the inward man, after the attributes of God. So, yeah, you're right. Okay. Good point. In this state of pleasing self, we become guilty of committing the works of the flesh, because we're doing the things that are against God and against His good works. And when you look at 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3, "For then, as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he hath suffered in the flesh, hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." There again we see that when we set about in our life before becoming a believer, we were doing the works of the flesh, and we were guilty of that because we were following our own desires. Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 through 7. Paul told those, Colossae, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye have also walked some time when ye lived in them." Our life before we were believers, we were guilty of committing the works of the flesh. Titus, the 3rd chapter, and verse 3. Again, I'm establishing where we were at before. Titus, the 3rd chapter, and verse 3. Our mindset before. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Again, living and serving divers lusts and pleasures, doing the works of the flesh. In Psalms 95, and verse 10, the remark is made there by God, "40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." These were the children of Israel, and they did know God's ways. But there was a way in which they did not know His ways. It's like what Mike was talking about. They didn't incorporate them. There was not a renewing of their mind. And they did not change and live the way that they should have. So when we look that we are, when we're pleasing ourselves, we become guilty of committing the works of the flesh. Let's look at a list that's presented to us in Romans, the 1st chapter. And some of these, again, when you have a renewing of the mind, these are things that have been taking place in our lives that need to not be taking place in our lives anymore. Romans, the first chapter, verses 28 through 31. You have a list here in verses 28 through 31 concerning several works of the flesh. The first one's listed there is unrighteousness. And that is not doing right according to God. It's iniquity, lawlessness. Not doing right according to God. Second one is fornication. That's all illicit relations. This includes adultery because it is an illicit relation. You have wickedness, which is a desire, and I underscore that, a desire of injuring others. It's like malice. I have that desire to injure others. Covetousness, it's a desire of obtaining that which belongs to others. They have something, I want to obtain it. Maliciousness is just evil in general. The act of doing wrong rather than the desire. Wickedness was the desire. Maliciousness is the act of doing wrong rather than the desire. Full of envy is excited by another's prosperity, accompanied with some degree of hatred, and often a desire or an effort to depreciate the person and with pleasure in seeing him depressed. That's a whole lot there. But that's full of envy, is how you would view someone else. Murder, all manslaughter or taking of human life, premeditated. Debate, not meaning discussion, but contention, strife, altercation connected with anger and heated zeal, quarrels. We have it mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me by you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Here was the fallacy that was in brothers and sisters there at Corinth. It wasn't just discussions, but it was contentions. It was quarrels. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, again, Paul brings that about in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, in verse 20. For I fear, Paul said, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envies, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumult. Again, the debate, contention, and strife. The next one listed there is deceit. That is fraud or falsehood. And that could cover about anything. You could try to create a falsehood or fraud by any means or methods. That's what deceit is. Malignity. It's misrepresenting the words or actions of others or putting the worst construction on their conduct. That's malignity. Okay. Taking something that they said, misinterpreting the words or actions, and trying to put the worst construction on their conduct. Whisperers. Those who secretly and in a sly manner by hints and innuendos detract from others or excite suspicion of them, give hints of evil in others and communicate the evil report under the injunction of secrecy, knowing that it will be divulged. That's different than when we get down, we'll look at the other one as far as backbiters here. Backbiters are those who slander or speak ill of those who are absent. Whisperers declare secretly the supposed faults of others. Backbiters proclaim them publicly. Haters of God, your heart rises up against God and His law. In Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul talked about that in the 8th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Haters of God and His law. Okay. Despiteful. Those who abuse or treat with unkindness or disdain those who are present. Proud. Conceit. Inordinate self-esteem. Boasters. They proclaim their own merits to those around. inventors of evil things, those who seeking to find out new arts or plans to practice evil, new devices to gratify their lust and their passions, new modes of gratification. We can see this ever present in the drug world that's out there. There's always something new that they're coming up and mixing to get a higher degree of gratification. Without understanding, unconsiderate or foolish, covenant breakers, false to their contracts, without natural affection, the want of affectionate regard towards children. That is one of the strongest bonds in nature, and only wickedness can change this. Affection that comes by nature, and only wickedness can change it. You have examples of Ahaz in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3, and Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33, 6, that made their children pass through the fire as a sacrifice. That's without natural affection. Implacable. Those who will not be reconciled where there is a quarrel, or those who pursue the offender with unyielding revenge. It's an unforgiving temper. Unmerciful. Destitute of compassion for poor or the sick. These are just some of the works of the flesh that we were guilty of before we became believers. And sometimes these still hang with believers. And that's why this renewing of the mind has to take place. This renewing of the mind has to take place. We have to put those things off. Put off the old man, put on the new man. We'll finish lesson one next week. We'll get into question 1B that will cover some of these things that we just talked about. Any thought or question? Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.